from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Good lead in text here to our topic. Should Damian regain, Damian Pierce, that's who they're talking about. Should Damian Pierce regain all his weight? He slimmed up for more carries, but since he isn't, would it be better for him to get bigger so he can run violently again?
Yes.
I know you had,
he should get bigger.
Yeah, you had said that yesterday. He should put his weight back on. So start trucking fools again.
Yeah, there's I think that was his strength, was breaking tackles. And, you know, I appreciate wanting to become a more complete back, but sometimes it's best to just lean into your strengths. And right now, there's things that they do, like when they're running out of the shotgun, which that's life in the NFL these days. Nobody likes it, but you do it, and it's effective for a lot of teams. It's harder for the running back because he has to, like, hit the hole at an angle. It's hard in a lot of ways to run effectively out of the gun. And for Damien, especially when he can't be at full speed when he's hitting the hole, and then he also doesn't have that strength that he typically did, he just goes down way too easy.
Yeah.
So there's times where the blocking is imperfect, but there are other backs who could still do more with it. That's where when I say it's complicated with Damien Pierce, I'm not excusing Damien from the equation, but the blocking has been imperfect too. It's just that the 1 yard per carry over the course of two games is never just the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think D'Amico Ryans and probably Nick Caserio are hanging on, hoping that something pops with Damien here, because I think they really like him. And we've seen proof that he can run capably at the NFL level. If he were to turn back into what he was as a rookie, man, all of a sudden you've got a really nice combo back there with him and Joe Mixon. Here was D'Amico Ryans when he was asked yesterday about the first team rushing offense in the win over the Giants on Saturday, a unit that played the first quarter and Damian Pierce had 4 carries for 5 yards.
Yeah, no, not sure how many rushes we had for our first unit. I know we had one outside zone play that we mistargeted a guy. We missed a guy, so a guy was free in the hole on one. And then another probably, you know, missed a run where we could have been downhill. But, you know, overall, I think it's with our O-line, our tight ends, and how it's hard to judge off a couple runs. I think we threw the ball a lot with our first team, so there weren't really many runs to judge, and I don't want to, you know, judge our team off of 2 runs. That's unfair to, you know, make a a judgment off of 2 runs.
So on that first drive, there was one play where I think the receiver was probably supposed to block the defensive back, but as the fullback came and saw the situation, he was supposed to block the linebacker, but he sees this unblocked defensive back. So he kind of made a decision, and that was just, so that was probably a missed assignment by somebody. You never know for certain. So he put that one on the blocking. The play where I think he was talking about where they could have been downhill, that was a tough read for Damien, because the defensive line they knew which play was coming because Kenyon Green gave it away in his stance. They pointed out that Kenyon Green was pulling beforehand. So the defensive end goes to blow up the play like he's supposed to, and I think Damien saw that. But then the defensive end does a really good job of coming back outside. He really just, Kenyon Green got double whammied on that play because Kenyon Green doesn't kick the defensive end out, but he also loses the outside, the block once the defense came outside. So it could have been downhill if Damian had just hit the hole, but I could see what he was thinking because it looked like the defensive end was going to do exact right thing. And it all started with Kenyon Green giving away that he was pulling in his stance. I'm watching it from behind the defense, and I'm seeing the defensive lineman point it out beforehand. I'm like, oh, yep, that's exactly. So it was dead in the water before the ball was even snapped. And Kayvon Thibodeau made a really beastly move on Kenyon Green on that to get it done.
All right, before we get into the teams that I was kind of spitballing in my own mind, sitting at my counter yesterday, show prepping, before we get to those, this is going to sound like a weird question because Damian's not had a good camp. Well, he's been okay in practice, but he's not had good games yet. He looks like the back he was last year in the games. But I'm asking this because he didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, got treated like a starter.
Mm-hmm.
He gets treated like a starter in press conferences. You know, like they don't say a bad thing. I feel like D'Amico's answer right there was, I feel like that was a little bit of tiptoeing around the Damian Pierce topic since he wasn't asked directly about Pierce. I feel like he was kind of like tiptoeing a little bit, trying to, you know, kind of put the blame on various aspects. No mention of the running back. Do you think Damian plays on Saturday against the Rams?
I hope he does.
I hope he does, too. I hope he does, too, because I don't know that he deserves to be on the team now.
They did this last year. They stuck with Damian way longer than they should have.
They abreued him.
They felt like, well, no, it'll click at some point. And if he doesn't play in that preseason game and they feel like they know what they have with Damian, then I feel like they're being a little bit blind to the reality of the situation.
I agree.
It does click for him, but they got to see. They can't trust that it will click for him. Yeah. They have to see it with their eyeballs that it'll click for him. But it also includes the offensive line's got to be better. These guys are, like, honestly, like, do your social media stuff. Make your money. All of that. Great. Accept all these pats on the back. They are not run blocking like road grading dogs.
Nope.
They are not that.
None of them.
They are not those guys, you know? And that, some of it's because of youth. Like Kenyon Green, that play where they could tell that he was pulling, that's a youthful thing. And that veteran players do too. Veteran offensive linemen, sometimes you have tells on them. But they're not blocking the way you need to block if you want to be a genuinely elite offense.
Yeah. And they're committed to this group.
Yeah.
I mean, the three vets on that line all have long-term extensions.
Mm-hmm.
They're all starting in on three-year extensions. You committed a first-round pick to Kenyon Green and a second-round pick to Juice Scruggs. Like, you've invested a lot in a group that might not be good at run blocking.
Yeah.
In an offense, it's predicated on running the football.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody earlier said I was crazy to think that Davis Mills could ever command a second-round pick. This is where people fall into this trap sometimes of thinking that NFL teams always make rational decisions.
Right.
Not out of desperation or whatever else.
Yeah.
It's like, there's almost no trade you can suggest where I'll say that would never happen.
Right.
I might say that's stupid, but to say it would never happen, that's just the way it works out.
Yeah.
It's the teams make desperate moves. Sam Darnold went for three draft picks.
Right.
You know?
One was a second.
Yeah, so when it comes to you brought up another one earlier.
Sam Bradford
went
for multiple high picks.
Yeah.
Because the Vikings were desperate. Teddy Bridgewater got hurt like in the last practice before the season started. Yeah, sir, you don't know the meaning of the word ever.
Yeah.
It's a simple way to put it.
And that's also where, like, that's why that's the price. I like having a good backup quarterback, and I'm cool with Davis Mills right now. That is a high price for Davis Mills, and that's why that's what I would accept
for it. Exactly. No, he may be necessary this year if anything happens to CJ. All right, here are my five teams. If indeed they were to realize, like, hey, maybe the best solution for all of us with Damian Pierce, then we don't have to tiptoe around things in press conferences anymore. He can go to a place where he's better off. We can keep one of these young running backs who show a little bit of juice here, you know, without Damian taking up a spot. This might be better for everybody if we move on and move Damian to a spot that makes sense. All right, so here are my five. And this is in no particular order. Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the team that we've seen. Like, if you Google Damian Pierce trade scenarios, the Cowboys are the ones that come up the most because there have been multiple outlets up there that cover the team that have suggested that. Ezekiel Elliott's their starter right now.
Right, yeah.
He's old and he's beat up.
He's a shadow of his former self.
Yeah.
seems to be, everybody loves him, et cetera, but he is what he is at this point
right.
in his career.
He's like a statue tribute to the old Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're going to run into some of the same tough things that Damien has here, which is like, that's a West Coast-based zone running system, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if they would necessarily see him as a scheme fit.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they might want to take a flyer on him.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of teams out there that probably
I'm talking
really,
like a six-round pick.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. They're desperate for a running back.
Yeah, there. Just depth chart issues.
Yep,
depth chart issues. The New Orleans Saints, they popped onto my radar yesterday when I saw this tweet from Jeff Duncan, who covers the team. The Saints need some juice in their backfield, just not a lot of explosiveness back there right now, which might be why we're seeing so much of Taysom Hill. They're running Taysom Hill a lot, like out of I formation backfield stuff. He's the most explosive runner on the roster right now. So they've got Taysom Hill playing a ton of running back, which is not ideal, even though he's done a good job. And Alvin Kamara is agitating for a new contract when he's like 3 years removed from being the Alvin Kamara that deserved the contract that he's on right now.
In whatever stage of development that the Saints are in, it's always a little bit murky. They can maybe take a guy that they think has uncaptured upside. Yeah. And maybe restore it to what he was. It might make sense for him there.
Yeah, the Saints are my second one. The Rams I put on the list because you and I texted about this yesterday. I'm following your lead on this one.
Right. Well, because a lot of people say, well, don't they run the same system as the Texans? Well, they do. They actually run a lot more old school gap scheme than they do zone running these days. And they might look at Damien as a guy that they think, okay, well, we can block better for him. We can get the best out of him. And this is what's key. They're going to have lots of FaceTime with the Texans over the next few days.
Yeah.
They're going to have one combined practice, but they'll be in town for a few days. And I think there's enough common ties between these coaching staffs and front offices that the Rams can take the Texans at their word when they just absolutely gush about Damien as a person.
For sure.
And there might be a little of like, oh, okay, but there's something here. Meanwhile, I'm looking to see how Cam Akers acts when he's around Sean McVay.
Yeah, there's
Sean
a lot
McVay
of,
publicly yeah. kind of hinted that he wasn't happy with Cam Akers, tried to trade him for two straight years.
Yeah.
Because they tried to trade him in 2022, couldn't do it, and it was they were open about trying to trade him.
Yes.
Basically, Les Snead, the GM, at one point just flat out just kind of threw shade at his work ethic.
Yeah.
So there was rifting there going on at some point.
We had him on the postgame show, Clint and I did on Saturday. I found him to be delightful.
I think that with Cam Akers, there might be a classic. Okay, he was a younger player, and whatever, we see this all the time. You know, the Lowry trade is the classic that I always think of in sports, where Kyle Lowry basically said after he got traded to Toronto, like, no, they wouldn't have gotten this version of me if I had stayed in Houston.
Yeah.
I needed that kick in the butt to kind of grow up and realize. So it does happen quite a few times.
That second Achilles probably does it to you also. Like, oh, crap, I better.
A dose of reality.
I got to play nice. Yeah.
I don't have any of these left.
Yeah. I'm out of Achilles.
I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure
I was really mad at myself that I didn't bring up salamander tails with him in the
postgame. I stopped with the salamander tail analogy because I think enough people don't get it.
Yeah.
So, kids. Salamanders, when you cut off one of their limbs, it grows back.
Yeah, they're like, so, yeah, nice try,
but
bro.
It's also super easy to cut off one of their limbs.
Yeah.
You can use safety scissors. But so I felt like that's what Cam Akers' Achilles tendons are like. Super easy to tear,
right.
But then they grow back on their own.
Amazingly fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Two more teams. Baltimore Ravens. Damian Pierce. Maybe on a team that run blocks from now until the end of time.
Okay, you know what?
I know they have Derrick Henry now, but they like having multiple backs they can throw at you.
Dude, he screams Baltimore Ravens,
right.
Actually, from a personality standpoint.
Reclamation project.
It's just the old school. I think Baltimore would get him. You're like, there needs to be some team that has the equivalent of the Astros pitching staff or pitching analytics.
Yeah.
Where they have that meeting with him at the beginning, the 1 hour meeting.
That's
where
the
they
Ravens.
They need to get him and be like, look, man, you play better when you're 10 pounds heavier than what you are right now.
Right.
We're going to put you up here. It's going to be a 1-2 play. You can come in relief of Derrick Henry and
eight carries off to the races. Yeah. 8 to 10 carries. Lamar Jackson back there. Okay, good. So you agree with the Ravens on that one. Last one. Las Vegas Raiders, their starter right now, they just named Gardner Minshew their starting quarterback. Their starting tailback is something called Zamir White is their starting tailback right now. And if you're in your car going, who? I'm like, yeah, exactly. Who? Damian Pierce has shown that he can run for big yards on dog crap teams.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for the 3-win Houston Texans.
Feels
back
like
in
an
2022.
Antonio Pierce type of guy too.
A little bit, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Remember, Josh Jacobs kind of talked a lot of smack about the culture there with the Raiders this offseason.
Yeah.
And I'm just, it's weird because it feels like the culture changed when Antonio Pierce took over.
They won more games.
I wonder if Josh
sure.
Jacobs thought that was just nothing and it wasn't actually anything real, that there was no culture.
He did
change.
Leave to go to Green. Now, Green Bay did money whip the hell out of him.
Yeah, so I guess it's probably, he's like, when you're trying to distance yourself.
4 years, $54 million.
He wasn't thinking
like
of his positive experiences with the Raiders while he's doing that interview. He's thinking about the very worst parts of it.
And the dollar signs just flashing in his eyes right there. So the Raiders, I think, would be another one I would call. But I think there's no shortage of teams that, hey, man, it's a day three pick, or maybe one of those trades where it's Damian and a sixth for a fifth or something like that.
Yeah.
I just think Damian needs a change of scenery. I don't think it's going to happen for him here, what they're envisioning for him. Someone said maybe he's just Steve Slayton. Slayton was the opposite. Slayton actually had his huge year in 2008 and then came back looking hefty as hell.
Oh, so body change, but in the different direction.
The other direction, yeah. Like Slayton came back, because Slayton was a smaller guy.
Yeah.
Had like 1,800 all-purpose yards his rookie year in 2008.
Arian Foster was just not even an afterthought. Nobody was really thinking about Arian Foster.
No, he was a practice squad guy, the same camp that Slayton came back all bulked up. I remember that was a big topic. Like Slayton came back and it was like, oh man, Slayton looks like he ate Slayton right there.
Yeah.
Because he looked, I'm sure it wasn't him just gorging in the offseason, but he looked like,
he didn't look like the same
thick.
Version.
Yeah, he just looked thick.
It's just,
you know?
I mean, it's the simplest of all things, and I hate to keep hammering it, but man, sometimes you hear this from Verlander. Verlander's one of the smartest dudes in the biz, veteran guy. There's times where he's had issues mechanically, and he'll talk about it, and he'll go back and watch film from when things were feeling really good, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, I stopped doing this or that.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as going back to a time when you were feeling really good, and there might be something obvious that you just kind of missed, some part, like, staple of your game that you just, that went away for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I think with Damian, it might be as simple as that. Just go back to when things were really good, back in when you were breaking tackles and everything. You were a different body weight. You're a different version of yourself. And it sounds overly simple, but it's a big deal. 10 pounds is a huge difference for a running back.
Oh, yeah.
The way you move, the way
defensive
linemen feel this. Like, you can feel 5 pounds sometimes.
Yeah.
Depending on what scheme you're in, you can be like, well, I don't know, 305 just doesn't feel right. I think I feel better at 310. And that's with a defensive lineman.
Yep.
So for running backs, it can be an extreme factor.
Thanks, Seth. Now, that is a text. Thanks, Seth. Now my crazy daughter is going to go out and try and cut off salamander tails.
Well, it's not, you know, as long as she does it in a non-psychopathic fashion. Like, she doesn't do it in a ritualistic
confined
fashion.
To the tail. Just don't cut their heads off.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're serial killers.
Right.
It's just she's a scientist,
right.
A budding scientist.
Future bio major, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we need to start doing this on the regular, maybe Tuesdays about this time. You've talked about this, the Pettycast. No show can get more petty than Payne and Pendergast. And we got a handful of people from over the weekend, mostly around the NFL, that we got to get petty about. Whether it's people giving them their flowers or whether it's them just not living up to the hype. Pettycast is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. There's a lot of chatter going on around the league about certain players, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes it agitates me, it agitates Seth, and we can get a little petty on this show. So we decided to confine our pettiness to one segment, and we call it the Petty Cast. Tribute to Tom Petty underneath us there. Thank you, Ben. And these are real for me, man. Like, I'm seeing some of this stuff and this conjecture and this talk and predictions of glory for some of these young quarterbacks. My first target in the Petty Cast is Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah, good. That's a good one.
Bo Nix.
Yes.
Is what made me think we need to do this today is Bo Nix. And he's getting a lot of love for a couple preseason performances against backups, to the point where some of the reporters that have been showing up at Broncos camp,
yeah,
many of whom probably have a relationship with Sean Payton from years and years of him coaching the Saints, are gaga over Bo Nix. Kay Adams, this is after she went to Broncos camp and interviewed Sean Payton and Cortland Sutton and several others, does a post on Twitter with several very, very nice pictures, mountains in the background and guys laughing, and she's posing with them. Vibes are mountain high, all eyes on Bo. There's a happiness, a guardedness, grateful to come visit with the Broncos ahead of the coronation, with a crown emoji next to it. So that's Kay Adams. Diana Rossini of The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix is a stud. He operates in this Sean Payton offense like a veteran. It would be a surprise if he's not the starter week one. Zach Wilson is also having a great camp with Denver. Strong arm. His throws onto... She's taking every bit of credibility.
Zach Wilson
asking good questions.
Oh, that's good.
One coach told me he's rejuvenated. Diana Rossini posts this quote from an article that I'm guessing she wrote about her time in Denver, but Sean Payton said that basically after the team's private workout with Bo Nix, they went on the field, and around throw number 16, Sean Payton turned to GM George Payton and said, "This is our guy.
This is our guy.
This is our guy. This is the guy we're going to get at 12.
That's because we know that's where we're drafting.
Not any of the five guys that went in front of him.
Right.
That's their guy.
In this day and age where the sixth quarterback drafted typically would have gone in the fourth round in a previous generation.
Yeah.
Like, now they're just taking, we got to take somebody. This is the thing about Bo Nix. He could end up being a really good NFL quarterback. There's nothing I've seen from him in these last two preseason games that tells you that. Like, he's done a good job doing what they're asking him to do, which is a lot of dinking and dunking and running for first downs, you know, again, against backups largely. But his, honestly, he is like, and this is where if he ever becomes good, this is what needs to happen. He makes everything way more difficult than it needs to be. He's like an outfielder that gets credit for a great catch, But it's only has to be a great catch because he got a horrible jump on the ball or took or misjudged it or whatever, so he has to make a leaping grab. So like whether it's a screen, just an easy throw over the middle or something like that, he's taking it from like weird body angles, jumping up and throwing it from off his feet and all this. He's all over the place, man. And they haven't asked him to do a lot. He's just kind of, he's done a good job of dinking and dunking.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that he can't be good, but the gushing over the performance is really, he does some things that are impressive that, and it's cool that he can do them. It just does. And I'm a little bit in the same boat with Caleb Williams. It's just that he does it at such a higher level.
Yeah.
Like his deep balls and some of the things he's done is really impressive. Caleb Williams has to clean up a lot of the simple stuff too.
They open with Seattle at Seattle. Pittsburgh at home, Tampa Bay, the Jets. Okay, I'm just trying to see. I was hoping there'd be some killer in week one.
Oh, okay.
Just some, I was hoping like the Ravens would be playing them in week one and he'd get his welcome to the NFL moment.
The Steelers defense, even though they aren't what they're not up to typical Steelers standards, they're still a solid defense. Maybe this year they end up being more like a classic Steelers defense, but they can throw some wrinkles at a rookie too.
Pettycast number two.
Okay.
So Bo Nix is number one. Pettycast number two, Deshaun Watson. Jameis Winston is out there doing the pregame hype. And I'm not going to play Jameis doing the hype thing again. We know Jameis. He's, you know, he's out there. He's going crazy. His teammates are all gathered around him. You know, 8 to 10 of them are buying into what Jameis is screaming before a preseason game, and the rest are just kind of out there going through the motions. But Jameis is doing this pregame hype talk, and he's not even playing in the game. And I'm looking, I'm going, what exactly does Deshaun Watson do?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is he doing? You go to his Instagram page, and you barely know he's a football player. And I'm not exaggerating. Go to his Instagram page, and I would say, and I'm being generous, 15 to 20% of the posts have something to do with football. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer to 10. Like last night, he puts up a 5-picture slideshow with his new car. You know, he's got a slideshow 2 days before that and some new clothes that he got.
Yeah.
He's always got stuff with, is Jilly his girlfriend's name?
I don't know.
Jilly Aeneas or whatever her name is. Yeah, like... Got a lot of posts with her. Like, you barely know Deshaun as a football player. Not our problem.
Yeah. There's one thing I know about people up in Cleveland. It's that they really respect a guy showing off his Maybach. That's they're like, I don't know,
there's
man. I don't know if this
chance.
Is the guy for us or not.
Well, I told you this. I like to, you know, poke my beak in on other stations around the country when there's stuff going on. Cleveland is one during football season I love to listen in on because, you know, their problem's not our problem anymore. They were going through the whole process, the segment I was listening to, their afternoon show, of trying to rationalize all the lawsuits again. Like, all the stuff they were probably doing 2 years ago that good play from Deshaun was supposed to make go away.
Yeah.
They're doing that again because he hasn't played in the preseason yet. He's not going to play, probably, until week one of the regular season, and he hasn't been good.
Reportedly hasn't looked like he has a deep ball at all.
Right,
and
right.
He's coming off of
a $64 million cap hit.
Right, yeah. That's, But I'm always torn on this because I do feel bad for Browns fans. I know you don't. Because
no.
Why? Oh, because you did your national show and you every week had to take, because you were skeptical of
Freddie Kitchens. Yeah, and I was right.
Somehow just because you let your rookie quarterback handpick his offensive coordinator be the head coach. And Freddie Kitchens, you were skeptical of Freddie Kitchens.
And
Browns fans would call in and tell you what an idiot you were
and
every
I'm still
day.
Petty. Yeah.
Okay, so the Browns fan segment. Base can go die in
they
your minds.
Especially in this segment right now, where we're intentionally being petty. Next one, Aaron Rodgers. Have you been seeing some of the blurbs from this Aaron Rodgers book that's out by Ian O'Connor?
I've seen Greg Jennings like go back. Greg Jennings. Nobody blasts Aaron Rodgers more than Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
This is pre-vaccination debate, everything else like that. Greg Jennings not a fan of Aaron Rodgers.
No.
And it seemed like I was watching it on Nick Wright's show where Greg Jennings was kind of trying to grill the author about some of the like positive things he said about Aaron Rodgers.
So it's
a pretty positive book, I take it?
I think it's a little of both.
Okay.
Because Ian O'Connor interviewed Aaron for it, but he interviewed a lot of family members and things like that. They talk a lot about why he got sideways with his family.
Yeah.
Premarital sex with Olivia Munn, supposedly, is the reason for that.
That's why they were upset with him?
Yeah. They're like a very Christian family.
Are they? Oh, okay.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were upset with him over that.
How'd they know they were having sex?
I don't know. Good question, Seth.
I wonder if they think Olivia Munn's the one who corrupted Aaron. And
it sounds like they well, they
oh,
didn't
they
like
really
her.
They thought she was a harlot.
I think maybe. Yeah,
okay.
I think maybe there was some of that. Yeah. So anyways, the reason I'm getting petty is Florio decided to, in an article, relive the chapter where Aaron Rodgers slipped in the draft in 2005. And I'm not going to lie, I had fun reliving it as well. I know Aaron Rodgers has gone on to do great things, make hundreds of millions of dollars. And Aaron Rodgers, if financials are the whole thing, he's got scoreboard over me and millions of others. But I didn't realize, like, John Gruden had the fifth pick in the draft that year with the Bucs. And according to Aaron Rodgers, he had given Aaron Rodgers a promise that we would take you if you're there at five. Instead, they took Cadillac Williams, the running back. And then the slide was on for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
that was fun to relive. There were three running backs taken in the top five in that draft. Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, and Cedric Benson.
Boy.
All taken in the top five. That was a different time and place, man.
Yeah, was that the nail in the coffin? And when people realized, like, oh boy, we've hit rock bottom
maybe.
Here.
I mean, it's getting close, and, right? 2005.
Who's the best of those three? Cedric Benson? In their NFL careers.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Texans legend Ronnie Brown, perhaps? I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think you. Cadillac Williams probably had the best individual seasons. I don't know who had the best career. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was fun to relive Aaron Rodgers having to sit there like a dope in the green room. Last one, Davante Adams. This is the petty cast here. We're getting petty. The Raiders just named Gardner Minshew their starting quarterback. Journeyman as it gets, Gardner Minshew. He's on his, fourth team now in 5 years. I will never forget Adams feeling like he got over on everybody because he, A, got paid, and B, got to come play with Derek Carr.
That's right. And he got to C, got to play for his childhood team, the Las Vegas Raiders?
The Las Vegas Raiders. Okay,
so yeah, he was so in love with the logo.
Geographically, didn't exist until like 3 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So I will always be petty about that. I always point and laugh at Davante Adams. Like, you thought you were getting over, and now you're playing for Antonio Pierce with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback.
Mm.
Have fun with that.
I saw Davante Adams on a podcast the other day. I hate these podcasts do is guys start giving away trade secrets way too easily. But he'll talk about how, like, he'll be on a comeback route, and if he can tell that the ball's not coming to him, he'll turn it into a double move, even though he knows he's not going to get the ball, to put it into the brain of the defensive back that he just got beat on a double move, so that later in the game, he can hit that comeback, he's going to have more cushion, because the defensive back thinks he got torched on a double move earlier that wasn't actually
part of the play, actually.
Or wasn't going to make a difference or anything.
That's pretty good.
But you don't have to give that up. Like, I don't know why they do this.
They give their secrets away.
Carry it to the death. Man, I'll see defensive linemen talk about tells that they know of offensive linemen. I'm like, why? Why are you not just screwing yourself, but the brotherhood? Like, what are you doing? Why?
Are you talking about, like, on the field after the game, too? Like, you see some guys talk.
Yeah.
Why would that New England guy tell
Coach up
CJ Stroud what he saw on that play?
Yeah, keep it in your satchel for later.
Yeah.
Next time you see him, man.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes guys assume that other guys will figure things out, so you might as well tell them anyway. Steve Hutchinson was an awesome Hall of... Is he in the Hall of Fame, Steve Hutchinson?
Good question.
The very, very good offensive lineman. He had a little bit of a tell for a long time in the NFL, and like other defensive linemen would tell me, but we didn't have podcasts. You don't go out and broadcast it. That was
anybody.
A really good player that nobody, that didn't realize he had a tell for years.
Steve Hutchinson, Pro Football Hall of Fame and College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was awesome. He had a little bit of, sometimes he would, if I remember correctly, he'd kind of twitch his hand right before the snap. So like you could tell whether it was on one or two, you just look for his hand twitch.
You played against him when he was a Seattle Seahawk.
What year?
Probably. He was a Seahawk from 2001 to 2005.
No, I don't think I ever played against
him.
I just knew about the deal.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Maybe in 2005. I think he was injured in 2005.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Then he went to the Vikings in 2006 and 2011. Yeah, Steve Hutchinson. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
No, I remember. I think I played against him in 2005 because I found out about the tell after. And somebody I wish I'd known that back then.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The new world of college football that we live in. Wait till you hear this cut from one of the more quotable college football coaches, but this is an indicator of the new world that we're in. Is this taking away at all for you from college football this coming season? That's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. College football starts up this Saturday. I haven't looked to see the schedule. I just know that it's games with spreads. That's all I know. And, yeah, it starts up this Saturday. Now, there is a Texans game this Saturday, so I will not be able to sit in my my little lounge chair and watch college football, at least till I get home.
Game this Saturday?
6:30. It's against the Rams, Seth.
They play
the
Rams. Are you and I doing a pregame show?
We are at 9 o'clock, yeah.
What would I do without you?
Be ready.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot again. But college football gets started this weekend, and, man, it's a brave new world of college football. Transfer portal, NIL, schools having to actually pay players now, not just NIL. Like, the schools are on the hook now for some money to these guys because of the huge media rights deals. But certain coaches handle it a different way. And Mike Gundy, Mike Gundy's a little bit like the Texans used to be under Rick Smith. Remember the Texans would not negotiate any contracts during the season when Rick Smith was the GM? Season starts, that's it. We don't talk to you till after the season about contracts.
Now college, so weird,
now college football coaches have to do this.
This is so strange.
Here was Mike Gundy. Here was Mike Gundy being asked about the new world of college football we live in and how he's having to handle that.
That's what I told the players. You can just, there's no negotiating now. Just, portal's over. Right. You can enjoy, all negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
just coaching and playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff and everything being so different, just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and, you know, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. You know, tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Going to start again in December. So now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun because there's been so much other stuff going on. It's been hard to really focus on football.
I feel like that the guy asking the question was like desperately trying to prop up like the some kind of an illusion of the glory of college football past and the amateurism or something.
He needed to shut up. It sounded like a side conversation going on.
I know. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Confusing. One of these media events where there's multiple stuff going on. Yeah, dude, it's, and this is where I'm torn 100% and have been for the last several years on all of this. Like, for the longest time, there has been something substantially un-American about the way college football was set up because it would really pass the test once it got to the Supreme Court, because it was a situation where because of the money involved, especially coaches making the kind of money they were and everything, it was becoming much more of an employment situation. It was harder and harder to say, well, guys are getting fair compensation in the form of their tuition. It's all, everybody's happy. Things had just blown way up. And yet at the same time, I don't like where it is right now. It was something I feel that legally and honestly, like without beating my chest and carrying a flag around, if you believe in free markets and you know, ability to get paid for what you're worth, the old setup wasn't right. And yet I don't like this. I feel like if the NCAA had been more proactive in trying to transition into having some kind of structure, some kind of, you know, actual formal negotiations with a players association or something, maybe it would be different. But it just, you know what it feels like? It feels like the early days of capitalism in the former Soviet Union, where just nobody knew what the hell, like, what are the rules?
It's a wild, wild west.
And you see what happened with Russia. They reverted back to an autocracy, basically. It's you know, it hasn't been smooth in a lot of regards for Russia.
No.
It's hard to establish a free market,
from scratch.
Of a sudden, yeah,
from scratch,
just in the blink of an eye.
And that's how it happened, July 1st, 2021. Like all of a sudden, like the courts rule on this NIL thing, and it's like it's a land rush to go pay players. To get them, you know, for whatever you could pay them for, any product. And then, of course, it evolved or devolved, however you look at it, to them just paying players. Like, they, at first, it really was NIL. And then it was just all these schools putting collectives together with their own salary cap just to pay guys.
And that's where it's still a little bit of a charade and interesting, because it's still, okay, you're getting paid for your name, image, and likeness, but there's no ROI on this for the people giving you the money. You know, like, is this a, at some point I could see the IRS getting involved hardcore.
For sure.
They're like, wait a second, are these collectives writing it off as a business expense on there because I paid offensive linemen to come out and do autograph signings for way more money than an NFL offensive lineman would get?
Yeah, I guess the two questions would be, well, given the fact we just played Mike Gundy, who I think you can tell from that cut there, clearly not a fan of this system, and I don't think there's any head coach that likes the new way things are done in college football. I think there's a lot of head coaches that pay lip service to that. Now it's fair for the players. They should be getting paid. And they're probably being honest with that.
Yeah.
That if, I mean, if you are being honest, like this was free labor. I mean, scholarships to school, whatever. But this was a business that had a cost basis for the most important labor of zero.
Yeah.
In terms of salary. So that's not sustainable. But there's no way that any of these coaches, especially the older ones, and Gundy's been around a while now. He's not a man, I'm 40 anymore. He's a man, I'm 55 now. You know, so these guys didn't get into college coaching to have to worry about managing salary caps and fielding calls from actual agents.
It's a whole different job.
It's different.
It's 100% a different job. Yeah. I feel like, and yeah.
And add the transfer portal into it now.
And when Saban was complaining about it, or even, I didn't feel like Saban was complaining as much as just saying, like, this is a completely different job than the one that I had for years. I understand that sentiment. Usually I don't like it when Saban gets up and whines in press conferences about rule changes or anything like that, but I could totally see guys that had spent their entire career doing that and also profiting, you know, making $10 million a year while everybody is locked into minimum wages on your employment base. Yes.
Yeah.
But it is true, like, that there's not, if for the coaches that really do want to develop young men and have some kind of a collegiate experience, it just, at the big time programs, at least, it doesn't feel like it's that at all anymore.
It doesn't. And now the other big question, because I know the answer to the question about what the coaches think about it. They don't like it, but they're dealing with it because they still get paid a lot of money. Like, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. I think the other question is it affecting the popularity of the sport? And the fact of the matter is, there's more people watching college football.
Yeah.
There's more people buying tickets. Like, I saw a tweet the other day that viewership is up, and a lot of these big schools, like, ticket prices and ticket sales are up 40% year over year.
I think this is a thing, because it's funny. I'm old enough that I was right at the age when free agency hit the NFL, where I was sitting around with my dad and his friends just talking about how it was going to destroy everything,
right,
and they hate it and this, that, the other. They all still love football. And what it does do is it provides every fan base a glimmer of hope that, oh, we could actually, because in the old days, you were married to your draft, and those are the guys you're going to have on your team for the next 10 years. And if you're down in the dumps, it was really, really hard to dig your way out of it. Where now, I think in any given year, people are seeing marquee names come to their program, and there's a chance that we might do it. At some point, theoretically, it should even out the playing field, but I don't know how much. There's going to be a very uneven playing field between the big money programs and the lower money ones.
I think the fact of the matter is there are diehard college football fans out there that are going to be a fan of the sport no matter how it's structured or how it's executed or whatever. They're just going to, if they don't like something, they're still going to watch college football. I think this version of college football to NFL fans and maybe weren't college football fans feels a little more like the NFL.
Yeah.
With the transfer portal being the equivalent of free agency. That's what happened with the NFL. While all your dad's friends were wringing their hands over this being the ruination of the sport, what did the NFL do? They essentially created a miniature season out of it.
Yeah.
With free agency. They created content out of it. I mean, it took several years from the time free agency became a thing. And I think you see that in college football now. Like, there's a portal tracker, you know?
And I guess the thing that's still making it, like, at least in the NFL, you've got the Players Association negotiating against the NFL. Where in college football, it's more about how does this play out in the legal system.
Thunderdome.
Yeah, that's where it's a little more Wild West than all of that. And to try to put structure into it, it feels almost impossible right now.
Yeah. You guys text message, you get a lot of texts on this. You guys keep saying zero labor costs or minimum wage. My daughter's a junior in high school. We're visiting schools, and the Tulane, Rice, Miami's, et cetera, the cost of attendance is $90,000 per year per student. And that's fair.
Right, it's not zero, but controlled.
There
was no market for labor, and like the best player in college football is getting paid the same or whatever the tuition is there, you know, equivalent to pretty much the same price.
And their cost to accommodate that kid ain't anywhere close to 90. That's retail.
Yeah.
The cost to the school to plunk that kid down in a class,
feed him,
room and board is probably like a third of that.
They're paying wholesale prices for that commodity.
If that. So, yeah. No, trust me. I had three in college. I get it, man. Seth's got a kid in college as well. So, it's, we understand that part of it. Next segment, top five candidates to be the Putin of the NCAA.
The what?
The Putin.
Oh, the Putin,
of the NCAA.
Yeah. Maybe Putin himself.
Yeah.
Maybe Putin will come over and...
big sports fan. He's got a Super Bowl ring that he stole from Robert Kraft.
How many players would be executed in the first 2 months?
People
would be able to take over under on how many people got a rice and dart.
Coming up,
coming
up next. One tweak, text message.
I shouldn't say executed, assassinated.
One tweak I would make is to the transfer rule. I would make it a rule that once you sign your letter of intent as a senior, you're at that school for at least 2 years.
Yeah, again.
Then you can transfer wherever you want.
This is where it would be nice if you actually had
some kind of governing body.
A players association.
Right.
You know, to negotiate against. Instead, it's all being played. Nobody loves anything better than when everything plays out in court, right? Yeah, it sucks.
Lawyers love it, man.
Yeah.
It's the best for them. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you heading into the 9 o'clock hour. Texans getting a lot of love, man. Azeez Alshire had a quote in a piece by DJ Bienname that just reading this thing got me fired up for the season and about the culture that D'Amico Ryans has put in place. We'll have that for you coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.